Good morning. It is great to see you this morning. Thankful for your presence so that we can worship God together, study from His Word. A few quick announcements to run through. Note on Ladies' Day, advertisements that are on the back, please, if you want to invite people, pick those up, make use of those. There are also some envelopes back there with the church's return address on them. As the ladies were stuffing envelopes to send out, those who were putting the return address got a little excited and did more return envelopes than were needed. So we've got those back there. Make use of those if you want to mail those out. And I hope that you'll take advantage of that. Also, a word on camp. That is rapidly approaching. I don't remember the exact deadline for the applications. That's in the bulletin, though. If you have young ones who are you planning on going to that, ages 8 to 18, get those applications in as soon as possible, especially if you are female. The female side of the camp fills up quicker normally than the male side, and once those spots are filled, they're filled. They have a finite amount of room there, and so if you're planning on your child going, please make sure to get those in. We'd love to have a large number go to camp with us this year. We always have a lot of fun, and so that's the first week of June. I hope you'll get those in. Also, concerning our young people, we'll be doing the Monday Night Summer Youth Series again this year. We'll go to those each Monday night that I'm in town. If I'm not in town, I hope you'll still go to that. And the one for here will be the week after VBS. And so you might want to make a note of that as well. Lots of great things going on this summer, and I hope you are marking those things down in your calendar to be a part of those things. One final thing I wanted to do is I wanted to say thank you for everyone that helped out with Friends and Family Day. We had a great turnout, had a great time, and I appreciate so much. There's a lot that goes in to making that happen, and y'all do a great job with that, and I appreciate it so very much. This morning we want to continue our study in the heroes of the faith. And this morning we turn our attention to someone who's familiar probably to all of us, and that is a man by the name of Daniel. While Daniel is not mentioned by name in Hebrews chapter 11, we do read about the stopping of the mouths of lions, which is obviously a reference to him. When we think about Daniel, we think about someone who was faithful despite extraordinary circumstances. And we connect with Daniel one of the things that we all need if we're going to have a strong faith. You know, when we think about faithfulness, there are some things that are needed if we're going to have a faith that is strong. Bible study is obviously something that has to be connected with faith if faith is going to be strong. We have to spend time in God's Word. Attendance at worship services and other things that are going on with the Lord's church helps to strengthen our faith and help us to grow. But also something else that is vital to a strong faith is that of prayer. And when we think about prayer, we think of a man like Daniel. Daniel is someone who understood the importance of prayer. As we look at Daniel's life, it's amazing to think about. This man was taken into captivity. He's in a strange land among strange people. They're speaking a strange language, and he's thrust into this environment. If there was ever an environment that would lend to someone turning away from God, y'all, Daniel is in that environment. But in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, as Daniel was presented with the first opportunity to compromise his beliefs, to compromise his faithfulness to God, we see in Daniel 1:8 that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Daniel is presented with the opportunity to eat things that as a Hebrew God had forbidden him to eat. But instead, Daniel remained strong in his convictions and he refused to be unfaithful to God. And we see that all began by Daniel purposing in his heart. You see, Daniel made the decision long before he found himself in Babylon that he was going to be faithful to the God of heaven. That he was going to serve God no matter what took place, no matter what happened, no matter what was thrown in front of him. I believe part of what allowed Daniel to do that was the fact that he had a strong prayer life. But the greatest peril that Daniel faced, it didn't come in the king's palace, but instead it came at the bottom of a pit with lions as his company, but with God at his side. Five things that we want to notice in all as we look at this man, Daniel. Two of those things this morning, the other three tonight, concerning Daniel in a lion's den, concerning the importance of standing with God, concerning the power of prayer, concerning a faith that is greater than lions. Number one this morning, we want to begin by noticing a conspiracy. A conspiracy. In the first 10 verses, Daniel chapter 6 and verses 1 through 10, a conspiracy is hatched against Daniel. If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, turn over to Daniel chapter 6 so that we can read together. And as we look at these first 10 verses, three things that we're going to notice, three points to help us to see everything that's taking place. The first thing that we see is the structure of the kingdom. And the verses 1 through 3, that Daniel, he lays out for us what is going on in the kingdom of Babylon at this time. It says that pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. The kingdom is structured as to allow the king himself to not have to deal with so much of the day-to-day. And that makes sense. And so we have 120 satraps. These people, we might think of them like mayors, if you will. They're over different areas. And these satraps, they each report to one of three governors. And you've still got this group that reports to one, this group to another, and this group to the third one. And so there's kind of a hierarchy here. And as the king continues to look at Daniel, we see that Daniel distinguishes himself. The idea here is that Daniel set himself apart. We're going to notice that when it comes to Daniel, Daniel's an upright guy. Daniel's someone who dealt fairly with people. And no doubt in an area, and when we look at the other people who were trying to set up Daniel, they didn't have those same characteristics of trust and honesty and uprightness. And because of those things, we see that Daniel was set apart. No doubt God's blessing played a role in this as well. His hard work, Daniel's hard work pays off. It reminded me of Proverbs 22:29, where the writer of Proverbs says, "Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will stand before unknown men." Daniel now is setting himself apart because of his hard work. But because of that also, we see a target begins to be painted on Daniel. And that brings us to our second point, and that is the sneaking of the governors. The sneaking of the governors. In verses 4 through 9, "So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom." These men set out and they say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." We see what's happening here. Before long, what's going to happen here is Daniel is going to be placed above us. We're going to have to report to him. We can't allow that to happen. We got to find a way to knock him down a peg in the eyes of the king. We've got to find a way to bring him down some to make sure this doesn't happen. So they begin to look. They think to themselves, there's got to be something going on, something that we can pin on him that he's done wrong so that the king will see he's not as great as the king thinks he is. So they began looking, but notice, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. They began looking and they can't find anything. You know, it's amazing to me, we think about the political climate in our world today. There seems like there's always a scandal that someone's involved in, isn't there? But yet when it came to Daniel, there was no scandal to be found. Not because they didn't look hard enough for it, because it was not there. That was the character in the life of Daniel. So what do they do? What can they figure out here? "Then these men said, 'We shall not find any charge against this Daniel, unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God.'" And so there's only one way we can get him. We've got to figure out something concerning his faith in God. That's where we can nail him. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king, and they said to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. In Psalm 37:32, the psalmist writes, the wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. And boy, that's what's taking place right here. Whether you know it or not, Christian, people are watching. They're watching to see if you live up, if your life lives up to the measure of what a Christian is to be. And if nothing else, friend, we need to always remember that God is watching. Notice the character of Daniel. It was such that they could not find any charge against him unless it was concerning God. If we're going to get him, they said, we're going to get him following God because he does right in everything else. Think about that for a moment. That's something that should be able to be said about us. That a person says the only thing that we can get against him is the fact that he's faithful to God. If we're going to get him, we're going to have to make a law that would cause him to have to choose between being faithful to God or to being right by the law. Well, see, Daniel's not going to allow the law to stop his faithfulness. And that brings us to verse 10, the steadfastness of Daniel. Notice verse 10 with me. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem. He knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as was his custom since early days. I like the fact that we're told at the very beginning of this verse that Daniel knew the writing was signed. It wasn't that Daniel went and prayed that day and had no clue as to what was taking place behind the scenes. Daniel knew. He knew that this law had been signed. He knew the punishment for praying to God, to anyone other than the king. And yet it says he did what he had done every other time. He went, he bowed, and he prayed. It's interesting, we read that with his windows open toward Jerusalem. You know, we could reason, you know, Daniel, won't you just go in your house, find a closet, shut the doors, and pray quietly? Daniel could have done that, couldn't he? But would Daniel not have been compromising himself by altering what it was he would have done? In a way, he would have been allowing this law to change how he served God. Daniel wasn't going to allow that to happen. Instead, he did as he had always done. God's law had not changed, even if man's law had. Y'all, Congress could pass a law tomorrow that says we're not allowed to gather on Sundays to worship God. And I don't know where you will be the next Sunday, but I'll be right here to preach if you're going to be here. Because God's law will not have changed, even if man's law has. As Christians, we are to obey by the law of God first and foremost. There's something that I've always found amazing about Daniel here. And it speaks to the importance of prayer. And we've talked about this before because we've had a class on Daniel and we've looked at Daniel in the past. But I remember the first time I finally saw this, it was like that light bulb goes off and you're like, wow. Daniel was given two choices. Daniel, you can stop praying, or you can be eaten by lions. Those are the choices that Daniel's presented with, are they not? Daniel, you can stop praying. That's choice number one. Or choice number two, you can be eaten by lions. Daniel believed so much in the power of prayer. He said, I'll take choice number two. I would rather be devoured by lions than to stop praying to my God. Let me ask an important question to us all, including myself. What hinders us from praying like we should? We don't have to worry about lions. Last time I checked, there were no lions in Ripley. I don't think that's changed. Daniel believed so much in the power of prayer, he would rather lose his life than stop praying to God. You and I need to be, we have to be, if we're going to have a faith that God wants us to have, we have to be people of prayer. A conspiracy is now hatched. And that leads us to our second point, and that is a confrontation. We're still in Daniel chapter 6. We're in verses 11 through 17 now. And there are several confrontations in these verses that take place. A couple of confrontations between the conspirators and the king, and then a confrontation between Daniel and the conspirators. 2 points that we want to consider in these verses. Number one, we want to see the plan completed. The plan completed. Notice verses 11 and 12 with me. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? These people, if you could reach into the history and just smack someone, these are the people that you want to smack. King, have you not? They know good and well he has. They know good and well why they got him to sign it. They asked him the question, the king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. And their plan had worked. They've caught Daniel. The words of the psalmist come to mind in Psalm 35, 21. Then also opened their mouth wide against me and said, aha, aha, our eyes have seen it. You can almost hear these people with that type of attitude. We've got him. We've got him right where we want him. They seek his demise. And that brings us to our second point, the praying one condemned. Beginning in verse 13, so they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it's the law of the Medes and the Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. This was something that was part of their law, that once a decree was signed, it couldn't be altered. You might remember you go to the book of Esther. Remember Haman had a law signed that the Jews were to be exterminated on that day? And when it finally comes to the knowledge of King Ahasuerus, King Ahasuerus says, I can't change it. But I'll write another law that tells them they are allowed to defend themselves on that day and to fight back. Because the law of the Medes and Persians, once it was signed, it was done. And that's where Darius finds himself. So the king gave the command. And they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet ring. and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. The king doesn't want to do this, but his hands are tied. But once again, notice the character of Daniel. We don't read of Daniel fighting. We don't read of him running. We read of someone who says, I've done what God would have me to do, and I'll face the consequences of that choice. Daniel placed his trust in God. And that's where we need to place ours as well. Daniel finds himself now in a pit with lions. What's going to happen? Well, most of you know the story. If you don't, you got to come back tonight to hear it. One of the things that impresses me about Daniel is that he obeyed God no matter what. I ask you this morning, will you make that same choice? If you're not a Christian, will you choose to become one no matter what? Believing that Jesus is the Son of God, turning from sin and repentance, confessing your belief in God before men, and being baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. I realize looking out, many of you have made that choice. You've made that decision. Have you gone away? Friend, if you're not faithful, make that change this morning. Maybe it's something that can be handled privately. Handle it privately. If it needs to be handled publicly, handle it publicly. But make that choice. Have a faith that's greater than life. It's our prayer that if you need to come, you'll do so right now. As together we stand and sing. What?